If you have your Bible today, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 12. I want to welcome you today. Glad you're here. Glad you put aside the time to be here today. I hope you'll hear this message today that the Lord has given to me to give to you with great, great joy. John chapter 12, verse 50. I want to read a verse there. And then we're going to read Acts 5, verse 20. Scripture says in John 12:50, "And I know that His commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Then in Acts 5, verse 20, "Go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life." Let us pray. Now, Lord, as we have read your word, we ask you now that you will speak to us through your word. Make it clear and plain to us today. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Motivate us in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I want to make a couple of comments about these passages and then apply them for us. The title of today's message is Speak Life. Speak Life. Jesus came on a mission, didn't he? It was a rescue mission. He came to the earth. In eternity past, the Father had already decided He was going to have to launch this rescue mission for us because He knew we would sin. He knew that we would need a Savior. The commandment that the Father has spoken through the Son is life. Eternal life. Not life that's this long, but life that is open-ended forever and ever. In mathematics, it's that laid over 8. Infinity, as far as you can think. That is God's desire and design for you. And it's His commandment. Jesus said, "I speak this as the Father has said for me to speak it." Now, what is our command? We'd be like Jesus. So, easy application here. What are we supposed to be doing when it comes to life? Speaking life. Everywhere we go. If it's in politics, if it's in business, if it's in social networking, it's speaking life into a situation. We're going to see what that means in just a second. Then, over in this passage in Acts 5:20. Let's read just a couple of verses before that 5:20, beginning in verse 17. "But the high priest rose up along with all the associates," that is the sect of the Sadducees. They were the larger political party of the Jews. They did not believe in the resurrection. They were kind of the liberal wing, the left wing of their religious political system. "They were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, 'Go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this life.'" So here you have it from an angel. An angel speaking it and commanding God's people, God's representatives, to speak life wherever they go. Now, so what's the big deal for us? How many people in your life right now, in your sphere of influence, on a daily basis are speaking life to you? In the office where you work, in the environment where you live, in the neighborhood where you live, the family system that you happen to be a part of, are the people speaking life? Are they speaking life or speaking death? Are they speaking God's life or man's synthetic life? And how long can man sustain that? Well, he can't. He does nothing except out of God's prerogative. Now, a lot of what goes on in the name of life in our world today is just existing. I want to ask you today, has God desired and designed for you to exist or to live? To live life to its fullest. Everything that is out there, every part of this life. Yesterday, we do this song and dance, Audrey and I do. Audrey and I dance. Yeah, I guess we do. With our plants. Cold weather, in. Warm weather, out. In and out, dragging these plants around, babying these plants. Yesterday when I was taking them, ones out of the garage so they could experience the warmth and all that they've experienced in this midwinter summer that we're having. I got my little shears, my little cutters, and I'm pruning those plants. And as I'm looking at those plants, I'm just imagining what they're going to look like. I've got this hibiscus. I gave it to Audrey, but it's become my plant. It's a Walmart plant that lasted. Usually the Walmart plants don't last too long. But they had woven the stalks of the plant together. It's beautiful. And it comes up. And every year, I mean, it puts on those hibiscus blooms like that. I mean, they're just huge. The bees love them. As I was looking at that plant and I'm pruning it back, I could see what it's going to become in the spring. I could see the green. I could see those leaves. And I was already thinking about, well, what have I got to do to make sure that happens? As I cooperate with God to make sure that thing blooms. And then I got to looking at all the other plants, and all, because in our older years now, our middle age, Audrey and I have come to, we're watching birds and enjoying flowers a lot. All the things I used to make fun of in other people, you know, all those things that they're going to, now we're doing, and the kids make fun of us. Yeah, mom and dad out there looking at birds again, you know, that kind of thing. We're not existing. God has given us life, and He's given us all these reminders that surround us of this life, not death. It's time to start expecting life, isn't it? It's time to be investing in that bank of life and speak in life. And you speak it, as we say, prophetically. You speak it ahead of time. It's not exact, you can't see it right now, but you know God, you know what He's done in the past, you know His promises, and so you know He will provide. In fact, we need to be a body full of those who are expecting. Well, hey, now pardon this illustration, but you'll remember it, I guarantee you. You can't be expecting unless you get pregnant. Can you? get pregnant with an idea, with a faith, with a trust, with what God puts in your heart so you can enjoy that and expect to see what God is going to do. Get pregnant with a Jesus vision. You know, we hear about all kinds of vision. X-ray vision, 20/20 vision, tunnel vision, close-up vision, distance vision, peripheral vision. How about Jesus vision? How about Jesus vision? To start seeing the world, your world, like Jesus sees it. Not through your Yahoo homepage. Not through what the Savannah Morning News that sometimes can't spell cat without spotting them two letters. On the front page, not seeing life the way they see it. It's been editorialized. It's been politicized. It's PC. It's time for it to be JC. For Jesus to be all over it, to be looking at life like He does, not victimized, not walking around. I see it today in the church, I've cooperated with it in my life, letting the world system tell me how I'm supposed to feel about what's going on, and I become like a, you know, the puppet, the marionettes that are just pulling the strings, the emotional string. Boy, you talk about a fickle public. The American public, we can turn on a dime, can't we? The sell job that's going on out there, from products to professional ball players. You know, I never rooted for Tim Tebow when he played for Florida on the field. But off the field, I rooted for him all the time. I'm still trying to figure out why the industry, all the media, has just got this penchant that they want to kick that guy in the dirt. I'll tell you why. It has nothing to do with who he plays for. Has nothing to do with football. It's because he, on every occasion he gets the chance, gives glory to God himself and pushes himself back out the way. Why do we speak life over people? Why do we want to speak life over our situation? Well, first of all, because God, that's something God does. And those who would be messengers of God, those who would be servants of Him, need to emulate Him. Because God does it. The times demand it. There's never been a more discouraging time in the history of mankind. There have never been more discouraged people than there are today. You say, oh, Dusty, you're grossly exaggerating that. Well, read. Look around you. We live in a more crowded world than we've ever lived in, and yet people are more isolated from one another. They can sit right next to each other and never have to say a word. They're texting somebody that's a continent away, and the guy right next to him is doing the same thing. By the way, have you ever been texting somebody and they answer you back, and then you look up and you see them? Hey, cut out the middle man. Let's talk. Let's converse. It's not to denigrate all the modern conveniences that we have, but not let them rule our lives. The times demand that we start speaking life over people. People need it. What would happen in your family, in your workplace right now, if instead of coming in with the bad attitude that you have towards somebody in your family or at your workplace that did you wrong at some place and, you know, you're giving them the cold shoulder, what if you came in not with a bunch of happy horse pucky, you know, kind of stuff, not plastic, not, but just came in with an encouraging word to them and were legit with that. And you spoke life to them. I'll go one further than that. What if you and your spouse, instead of falling into old habits of communication, began to speak life into one another's lives? What if you started speaking life into your children's lives? To start seeing them the way God sees them. I'm not talking about making stuff up. I've said this several years ago to you. My dad was my coach for several years at different ball teams that I played on. And he was never the kind of coach that put me down. Wasn't his style. When I went out onto the ball field, I remember at the age of 11, we were playing down at the big park at Forsyth, and that's back when we had baseball fields down there, and the Confederate Memorial there, that fence was the left field fence for our ball diamond. This kid showed up for the other team I think he drove to the game. Now this was like 11 year old we're playing. He was as tall as me. Man, he could throw a baseball. We were all watching him warm up. Dad comes over and he talks to us. I'll never forget this. He said, "Son, you can hit his fastball." In fact, he told me that day, this was a lie, but he said, "You can hit anybody's fastball. If you got started soon enough, you can." You know what? I stepped into the box that day. I remember the old bat I had. I even remember how it felt in my hand. Choked up. As always did. And I stepped in the box and there was no fear. He winds up, man, and I'm already coming. In fact, I started swinging when I was still in the on-deck circle. He was that fast. And I got around on that thing, bam! And you know, the wonderful thing about when they throw it hard, when it comes off that bat, it goes. And it did. And it did. He was speaking life over me. Children, today, they need it. They've got all these places that are, I put them in two categories. Number one, the ones that are putting them down, just negative, 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 all that. And then the ones that are just being dishonest about it. And that's not encouragement. Speak life. People need it. And you know what? And you know what will happen? Is after you start doing that, you can't stop. Because the Holy Spirit will come and take over. When do you speak life over people? You speak life, because life means light. And you speak into the darkness. And you speak in faith. You speak it about your business. You speak it about your relationships. You speak it about the people that you're concerned about in your life that are apart from God. And today the devil would have you believe they're separated. There's no way you can get across the gulf to get to them, to speak words of life to them. They'll never hear that evangelistic message, that call on their lives. No, they'll never hear it without a miracle. And a miracle happens every time Jesus crosses the gulf for us. And He uses us in the process. And we get to be a part of the miracle of the new birth, of sharing that with somebody else. How many of you that are here today, you receive Christ because of the witness of somebody else in your life? Put your hand up. You know, everybody's hand ought to be up right now. Because that's how it happened. A miracle took place. God did something. Life was spoken. When do you speak life? You speak life when things are dead. Dead. And you know what? Speaking life in this area means there's some areas you need to let die. There are ball and chain around your ankle. To sever that and say no, I'm not going to carry around the chains of death anymore. That's why Paul would say, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift from Him. And it is a gift for everybody. It's a gift that you get to give. Isn't that great? You give the most valuable thing that another person can have, this gift of life. And you're speaking it. You're speaking it with your words, with your attitude. When do we speak life? When the circumstances are demanding. I want to ask you, are there some demanding circumstances around us right now? You know what? I thought several years ago, y'all probably don't remember the message I preached the fall of 2007 over in at Jacob G. Smith, those of you that were with us then. I really thought, as I saw things happening the way that they were, I really thought at that point that we were going to see this tremendous move in our country, that the financial situation, all the stuff that was going on in the world was going to jog people enough. It was going to shake them up enough that we would start seeing revival break out. We'd start seeing renewal happen in our country. Let me ask you, has that happened in our country? Absolutely not. It has not happened. We're still staring at the demanding circumstances, and we're trying to figure out a way how we can do it. I want you to know there's only one way. It is through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He forgives, as He makes new. We can't depend on all the things that we have depended on in the past. It's got to be Him. When do you speak life? Well, you speak life when things get desperate. Are you desperate enough yet to call for help? To say, I can't do it? To say, Lord, come and speak. How are we created? The Bible says, and God breathed, Yahweh breathed into man. And man became a living soul. But man fell. Sin entered in. So man had to be born again in order to have this life. So how are we born again? He comes and breathes His Spirit into us. We confess our sin. We realize we need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. And the very Spirit of Jesus then comes to tabernacle in us. He breathes into us. How are we supposed to live every day? By letting Him breathe into us. Speak into us. What did His disciples say when you know, they asked the question, Lord, where can we go? You alone have the words of life. You alone. There are no other words. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. They're not alternate routes. It's Him. I challenge you today to begin speaking life over your spouse, to begin speaking life over your children, to begin speaking life over your job and over your workplace, to begin speaking life over your neighbors, to speak life over your property and your possessions. Why does He put things in your hand? So you can use them for His glory. That's why. A friend of mine years ago built a brand new house. And he got it completed. He wanted me to come over there and pray through it. And he said, we're standing out there looking at this house. It's beautiful. It was backed up on a creek and there was a pond over here. Just an idyllic situation. He looked at me and said, well, preacher, he said, this house doesn't belong to me. And I'm looking around. I thought, well, because he paid cash for all of it. By the way, anybody want to receive that blessing today? Okay, all right. I just want to see if you're paying attention. He paid cash for it, and he said, it doesn't belong to me. And I'm thinking, well, who does it belong to? If it doesn't belong to you, he said, I've just got the chance to use it for a little while. All this belongs to the Lord. He's the one that put it in my hand. He said, and when I die, he said, I'm not going to carry any of this with me. No trailer hitches on any of those hearses you see going to the cemetery. I don't care if somebody is buried in a golden box. That box stays here. The pharaohs, Tutankhamun can verify that historically. All that remains here. You can't take it with you. So why does God put it in your hand? So you can use it for His glory. Everything He's given you. What about it? It's time to start speaking life. Encouraging words to people around you. Jesus' words around you. I'm not talking about weird. I'm not talking about over the top, you know, beating people over the head with Bibles and all that kind of stuff, you know, tripwires with tracks, you know, come ambushing them with all that. No, that's garbage. That's garbage. Because you know what? People, they put that in that category and say, it doesn't make any difference. I'm talking about real encouragement. I'm talking about real life where people really live. May I pray for you? And when you say, may I pray for you, there's that offer of that hand to really help you right now and speak it in their language, where they are, their situation. It's time to speak life. And you know what that, you know what that'll do for us as a people? It will set us apart because it will confound the wisdom of our world. It will stand Savannah, Georgia on its head if we begin to speak life where you are, where you live. And you start with the people who in your mind deserve it the least. Who comes to mind? And don't lie to me and say, nobody like that comes to mind. Oh, preacher, I love everybody and I treat them all the same. Hogwash. Not true. Not true. You know, there are some people in your life that you believe are loster than others. I'm sorry, Rick. They're loster. They're farther away in your mind. But are they? How close are they? They're as close as the word of life spoken. And the life we speak is eternal life. So what are you going to do about it? Get to start today. I want to make you a guarantee. If you paid attention, you listened today to what I've had to say, I guarantee you, before this day is over, the Lord's going to give you a chance to practice this sermon. And some of you are already dreading it. No, I don't want that. You're like Jonah. When the Lord sent him to Nineveh, what did he want to happen to Nineveh? Burn them down. Nuke them. Bam. Lord took him to the woodshed, and a great revival took place in Nineveh. You know who's holding back revival in America? It's not the lost. It's the saved. It's time to get busy speaking life. Your words mean life to people. Remember going to see this fellow one morning. He had visited our church and I'd called him up and just on a whim said, "Can I come by to see you?" And you never know what's going to happen in a person's life, how God is going to do something that's just so much larger than you can ever think. Went by to see him, sat down there. And both he and his wife were at home. He was working a different shift, and she was at home with the kids, two little kids there. And we sat in there. I walked to their home and began a conversation. I was trying to get around to their relationship to the Lord. And finally, the guy just kind of interrupts me, and he says something to, I don't remember the exact words he said, but, you know, preacher, I really need Jesus. Wait a second, man, this is shooting fish in a barrel. I need Jesus. I said, well, man, you come to the right place because that's who I've come to speak to you about. It's Jesus. And I thought of all the what I'd prepared to say to them, it all went out the window. He was ready right then to receive the words of life. He did. He gave his heart to the Lord. His wife gave her heart to the Lord. They became servants of the Lord. I heard from them through Facebook and got their history of all the churches they've, from here to North Carolina, that they have faithfully served in. All the people that have come to know Jesus through that couple. And I'm thinking, What if someone had not spoken the words of life to them? Look at the hundreds of people that would be in spiritual poverty today. It's life. We speak life. Lord has some divine appointments for you where He wants you to speak life. Why not take Him up on them today? Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you today for everyone that is here, the sound of my voice. Lord, you've drilled down and you've drilled through that hard exterior and you've gotten their heart today. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, now that we could receive your message. Lord, I pray right now, if there's anyone who has never publicly professed his faith in Jesus, today will be the day. They will come and say, Pastor, I give my life to Jesus today. I've been putting it off. Lord's not counting your what church you're a member of or your own version of spirituality. Lord, right now, I'm asking you to prick our hearts for the people that are on our hearts who need the words of life today, eternal life, and not death. It is new life in Christ. Come, Lord, prick our hearts in Jesus' name. The altar's open. We invite you to come.
say go, we will go. If you say wait, we will wait. If you say step out on the water, and they say it can't be done, we'll fix our eyes on you, and we will come. Your ways are higher than our ways, and the plans that you have laid are good and true. If you call us to the fire, you will not withdraw your hand. We'll gaze into the flames, look for you. You say go, we will go. If you say wait, Lord, we will wait. Say to step out on the water, and they say it can't be done. We'll fix our eyes on you, and we will come.
Just wanted to say something real quick. And I've talked to most of you since we've been back from Pittsburgh. It was hard. I've never seen anybody die before, and that was tough. But I joke around that the highlight of my trip was hitting this guy with a snowball. Right in the rib cage. It was great. but when I think back, the highlight was the prayers that we felt. obviously, this was a prepared talk, but just don't take for granted what we got here. There's blood family and all that stuff, and it's great. But in my opinion, there's nothing better than this. Yeah. And I just want to say thank you.
Those of you who don't know, Terry lost her dad and he gained heaven several weeks ago. And what a blessing. What a blessing to know that you know that you know. And thank you for your prayers for them. And continue to pray for mom in this time. Pray for the Sidners and their loss, and as the Lord showed up yesterday at that homegoing service for Tommy's mom. And hope you'll meet his sister and her husband here today, and make sure you introduce yourself to them before they leave today. How many of you have got a family here visiting with you? All right. Well, make sure you... All right. Blessings on you. Blessings on you. Now, I want to pray a blessing over you as you leave. Are you ready? You ready to receive this? Ready for because we're going to talk to the man, the one who's over it all, the one who has the keys of the kingdom, our provider, our Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides for his people. So are you ready? Ready? And so that you can then become his conduit of those blessings to pass through you. Maybe what we need to pray is God will knock out the other end of that conduit that's clogged up right now. All right? Let's pray that. Lord, right now, in Your name and in Your power, we come before You. I am asking You, Lord, that You'll come, and put Your hand on each person here who is open to You. Lord, not for the ones that are closed off, but for the ones that are open to You right now, and come with Your blessing and Your power, that You'll put the words in their mouth, that You'll put the action in their feet, You'll put the motivation in their heart, the power of God upon their lives as they go forth. Lord, I'm praying for financial blessing, for job blessings, for family blessing. Lord, You put this on my heart earlier. There's someone here that is desirous of having another child, that has been unable to have another child. I'm praying that blessing right now, that You will provide. You are the giver of all good and perfect gifts, that You'll provide. Lord, we send out Your body in the name and the power of the Lord Jesus, in the authority of the Father, and in the love of the Holy Spirit as they go forth, Lord. We send them out in Your name. May they speak the words of life wherever they go and bring the light of the Lord Jesus. And it is in His name that we pray. Amen. Do you agree in prayer? Amen. Go get them.